Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 138 responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your purpose for me, O Lord. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
A reading from Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy, in proportion to faith. Ministry, in ministering. The teacher, in teaching. The exhorter, in exhortation. The giver, in generosity. The leader, in diligence. The compassionate, in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A trick question, keys, authority, and a secret. Today, this congregation acknowledges that a new school year has arrived. In so many ways, it looks like no other in remembered history. Certainly, there was 1918, but very few of us remember that. My colleagues downtown, well, their churches had board meetings and records from that pandemic. They tell me that there are, well, rather brief notations acknowledging that their buildings were closed without worship for many months by order of the local health department. History at St. Andrew's does not go quite that deep. So today, this congregation, as we enter a new school year, will pray for students. The most basic prayer is that those students will recognize that Christ is with them wherever they are. Most of them have received a keychain or cross for their backpack or their school space, a reminder of God's love for them. This year, an added prayer will be lifted up for the technology that many will use for their learning, because not everybody is returning to a classroom. What may be implicit in all of this is that the church ought rightly hold all of the teachers and professors and administrators and support staff in prayer as well. There are so many ways that no one knows how the coming months will shape out. For all of us, there's a lot of hoping for the best and developing contingencies for if the best does not come to pass. To be sure, the church has been praying for more than 5 months, and the church will continue to pray for those who are sick, those who have recovered, those who have died, those who have the charge for responsibility with navigating the rapids of this time. The church prays for all who are engaged in education at every level. The church prays for those who are trying to figure out how to do business in this environment. The church prays for the nations of the world. We pray. At some level, it seems fitting that as the world around starts school, the scriptures present followers of Jesus with a trick question. As a student, I often ran into those times when the question seemed to give clues to the answer. Too often, particularly if I didn't know my stuff, I wouldn't trust it. I'd go for one of the other possibilities. Now, there's a story out there. It may be apocryphal. It was children's time in worship. The pastor had all the kids sitting at her feet. She described something that was brown and furry and had a fluffy tail. And she asked the children if they knew what it was. After moments of blank stares, one of the kids piped up, "Pastor, it sounds just like a squirrel, but I know the answer has to be Jesus." So today, We have skipped forward in the story from last week. Jesus has led his disciples into Gentile territory about 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, and he asks them a question. Embedded in the question is the answer. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Certainly, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has referred to himself as the Son of Man 9 times prior to this. Still, the disciples suggest that the Son of Man, well, that he is in the line of the great prophets and the leaders of the historical gathering of the faithful. However, there is also a rabbinic tradition that follows on the book of Daniel that uses the language of Son of Man to refer to the coming of the Messiah at the end of time. Like many students in religion class, the disciples could not quite believe that they knew the answer or that Jesus gave it to them in the question. Perhaps we cannot either. But Jesus reframes the question, who do you say that I am? Then Simon Peter gets the answer. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It's a victory. And I suggest we let Peter and the disciples have this victory. What follows is that Jesus blesses Peter. Peter, the rock, way before Don Johnson, is the foundation upon which the church is to be built. Then Jesus promises him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom is about authority, and it's also about a particular kind of knowledge. For knowing the answer, Peter will know all the more. But the authority is also defined by rabbinic tradition, is that the authority to forbid and to permit. Jesus gives the disciples, chiefly Peter, the authority to forbid and to permit. And as I understand it, and my memory of Mark Allen Powell's explanation may be faulty, binding and loosing is about application of the law. In a time of conflict about a wrong done among the congregation of the faithful, the rabbis had the authority to meet together, to examine the situation. The rabbis then argued the application of scripture, and then they decide whether in this circumstance the scripture applied, the law applied, in which case it was bound. Or they could decide that in this case the scripture did not apply, in which case it was loosed. This is dramatic authority. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peter, and perhaps by extension those early disciples, receive authority to discern and interpret the will of God. This is powerful authority. I dare say that ever since, the disciples of Jesus then and now have continually struggled with this authority, and maybe more so with trusting one another with it. From this flows the sense also that no one of us has the authority to interpret scripture or its application alone in a certain circumstance. We all need one another to puzzle through the scripture and the context then and now and God's intent. Yet what Jesus continually shows his disciples then and now is God's steadfast love, God's commitment to justice that levels the privilege for all, God's forgiveness and grace, God's faithfulness to those things that bring life. Now that these disciples have received this incredible news, Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the one they have been waiting for. And Simon Peter is the foundation for the gathering, for the church that Jesus is building. And Peter will receive special authority and knowledge to include the authority and knowledge reserved for in the rabbinic tradition for forbidding and permitting, binding and loosing. And then, having heard all of that, Jesus says and tells them and commits them to secrecy. Don't tell anyone else. Tell no one that Jesus is the Messiah. Could you do that? Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.